comedian Hal Cruttendon is on his way to Northern Ireland as part of his current tour. His star has risen in recent years with performances on hit shows like Have I Got News For You. His new show is called Straight Outta Cruttendon, and if you don't know the movie Straight Outta Compton, like, I've never seen it, then that will mean nothing to you. And he says it will contain jokes about things that annoy him. So I spoke to Hal and asked what got on his nerves.
Oh, well, increasingly everything. I'm getting to that age now. It's that mid-40s thing where a lot of things annoy me. I ranted a bit about Facebook in my last tour. I'm still doing more now about Facebook. Social media drives me mad because it sort of reflects the way we are. I sort of have a go at everybody for being incredibly indulgent. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody's so aware of spreading their feelings, but my life's terrible and putting that on social media.
Yes.
The thing is, I do the same thing, but I want to be unusual. I want to be an unusual, artistic, self-indulgent person. It seems like everybody's indulgent now.
Is that possible, though? Everyone wants to do it, and they do this aloof-type thing where they post these things, wanting people to ask them questions, sympathise. It drives me mad.
It is awful. My wife does it a lot, and I just realise how much I have a go at about it. And then I go, you've just done it. So I actually have come off Facebook, personal Facebook. I've got a Facebook page for followers, but I've got my own little page about two friends. But I had to come off it because it was driving me so mad. The point of my show is, however much I attack everybody else, I'm attacking myself the most because I'm terrible for it. I'm terrible.
Well,
I'm a stand-up comic that stands, with a mic and lights, demanding attention. So I think it's just that I get disappointed that if other people behave like I do.
We're always being told what the British people deserve. You look at my friends' Facebook pages are just them moaning about life and what they deserve. Their Facebook status, mad day, got up, got the kids to school, did the washing, did the shopping, went to work, picked the kids up, did the dinner, sitting on the couch drinking red wine. I deserve this. No, I always think, no, you don't, actually, no. If you live okay in Britain, you live one of the most privileged lives in the world. The people who deserve a good old moan on Facebook are people trying to bring up families in war-torn sub-Saharan Africa. They deserve Facebook, don't they? Yeah? Mad day. Had to walk 10 miles to fetch clean water. Got turned back by the militia. Lost a child to malaria on the way home. Sitting in my tent drinking rainwater. I deserve this.
I've been to see you live, but we'll come to that shortly. But when you're in, say, for example, live at the Apollo or one of those really big venues, you get up on the stage, this big build-up, because no one wants to sound like a flat pancake, so they dramatise. You've got the smoke, you've got the lights, you've got the music, and then out comes Hal Cruttendon. Are you not nervous beforehand and then worried what happens if people simply don't laugh and don't find me funny?
Yes, terrified.
Really, even now?
Yes. Well, the thing is, it's a very strange thing. You know, at things like Live at the Apollo, it'll probably be fine. You've prepared for it. You know what you're doing. You're going out there. But it's still anything could happen. You could still suddenly go, oh, no, and start crying and run off and have a breakdown. that's an extreme version, obviously. I'm a particular neurotic. But I am a real worrier. I did Channel 4 Comedy Gala this year, which is at the O2s. It was about 13,000 people. And I'd never played that size in audience before. It was about 8,000 more than I'd ever played. I did a thing once at the Albert Hall, so that was like 5,000. So in my head, I was going, I've never played this many people before. I don't actually know what I'm doing. I'm playing more than double the number of people I've ever played before live. So I did have to slightly walk around outside, just reminding myself that there are people in horrendous situations in the world, and this really isn't the most important thing. That's how you get rid of nerves. You think, for a comic, you think really dark thoughts. You have to think, there are people suffering madly in the world.
Yeah.
You running on stage and, collapsing and not being able to do your act and running off crying. I mean, I've never done that, by the way.
That ties into the Facebook and the social media stuff you mentioned earlier, where people think they have quite a tough life if they've had a bad day, their car broke down, got a flat tyre, or the kids were driving them mad. And really, when you put it into perspective, most of us, a lot of us, have a pretty good life.
Exactly. It's a lot of first world problems. I mean, not to say there aren't terrible things that happen, but I think, I'm the worst here. I panic about everything. Our cats just had kittens, and my wife has had to throw me out of the house because I'm worried the whole time that they're all going to die. So I tend to always look at the worst of every situation, and it does ruin life, but it makes for good comedy potential.
But if you're that concerned about your kittens, surely when you became a dad then you must have been a bag of nerves.
Oh, totally I was. And I can't. I mean, I had kids. My kids are now 14 and 15, so I had them far too early in my life. I was 30, 31, which I know isn't too early. But I just the worry. I think it changes the whole way you look at money. Have you got kids?
No, I've got two dogs, and people say that I have referred to them as my fur babies when no one else is around. I'm far too attached, but let's just say that they're like my children.
When you have kids, they're just so much more expensive potentially, and they keep getting more expensive. You do worry about the current generation, because I think we do tend to have, you know, younger people, I think, probably do have it harder than they've ever had it. So I just think they're going to be living with us, and I'm going to be paying for them till they're 50 or something. That's the weird thing about comedy. All the things that are wrong with you as a person are often very funny. So they tend to get bigger and bigger. So I think I've probably become more panicky the longer I've been a comic.
No, I'm possessed when I eat, honestly. I eat very fast and I cannot be interrupted. I consume food. I use food. I don't savour it or enjoy it. I'd be rubbish on MasterChef. On MasterChef, you've always got someone going, that's slightly overcooked, but that's a beautiful fusion of different flavours, yeah. I can really taste the coconut coming through now. Hal, what do you think? I just feel happier!
I've noticed as well, following you, watching a couple of TV programmes I've seen you in, YouTube clips, and your comedy seems to be getting a little bit edgier. So a lot of comics, you know, sometimes you laugh at jokes because you kind of know maybe I shouldn't laugh at this, and that just makes some things even more funny. But yours does seem to be getting edgier. Is that because you're getting a bit older, more confident, or why is that? And how do you know when you're on the line and not way over it and you're going to get in trouble?
I think that is the thing of experience. I think new comics spend a lot of time going a bit probably just, I mean, you're new, you don't want to lose the audience. I think the more experience you get, the more you're more conscious about the fact that they'll go with you, that they'll take it from the right angle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That they'll. So I think the truth is that the longer you go as a comic, the more you want to be honest about who you are. And so you want to present the light and shade of your personality, and also say some of the really dark things that you think.
Yeah.
Really, all of us think that we just want somebody to say. So I think it's just that the better you get as a comic, the more honest you become, because no one really wants to just be, oh, I'm Mr. It's Mr. Funny Man with his,
or Mr. Tumble, as you sometimes get.
Oh, Mr. Tumble, or he's the classic, and Martin Roberts from Holmes Under the Hammer.
Right, I think I'd rather have Mr. Tumble.
Martin Roberts from Holmes Under the Hammer has a sort of dark edginess to him, I think. but you know, people.
Mr. Tumble is probably worth a pound or two, though.
Oh, but I've had people in my show. I mean, Mr. Tumble, people actually. Oh no, a kid did ask me for an autograph once. Go, I've seen all your stuff on CBeebies, and I went, "Oh, wrong person." But I've actually had people come to see my show on tour, and I've mentioned I'm not Martin Roberts from Holmes Under the Hammer, and two women in the front row went, oh, and sort of nudged each other. And I went, oh, you really thought it was? And they went, yes. I thought you were going to get advice on that to do up your house and make it worth more.
Well,
because I know nothing about it.
Well, let's talk about, I'm not sure if this is the last time you were here performing, but I went to see you when you were performing at, I think it was the Waterfront Hall. Was that last year?
That was
maybe the year
two
before.
Years ago.
And I was sitting and was laughing away, and about a quarter of the way through, you looked up and you said to a lady in the audience, sorry, am I boring you? And I don't know if you remember this, and the lady looked quite embarrassed. I wasn't that far away from her, but and that just made me laugh because someone else felt uncomfortable, so that was hilarious. And then you went on, told a few more jokes, and then you referenced her again and basically said, no, are you seriously bored because you keep looking at your phone? And this went on for quite some time until eventually you asked, what are you doing, madam? Do you want to leave? And then I can't remember exactly what she said to you, but it transpired that she was there and she was writing a review on your show. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. Belfast Telegraph or something, wasn't it? It was a proper thing.
She was taking notes on her phone.
I did think that was weird. That was fun. But I mean, I'm terrible at that. I can't help but mention things like that when they happen. It was quite funny. Oh, do you know what I remember mainly from that night is the fact that whenever I play Northern Ireland, because my wife's Northern Irish,
yes,
I try and keep a low profile so that her family don't all come. And they all did. Lots of them came to that night, and they're all there afterwards. And I'm like, oh, no.
And how do they feel about, because you in your stand-up, it's one of my favourite things that you do. You like to talk about your lovely wife and her lovely accent and how it makes you feel.
They're fine about it. They are fine about it. But I know I'm very rude. I know I'm very, very rude about Northern Ireland, and the fact that and it must be an annoying stereotype, but it's still true that however lovely the Northern Irish accent is, it still scares English people.
Well, it does, and I lived in England for about 4 years, and when I would hear a Northern Irish person on TV or in person, I would cringe a bit because. Maybe it's a self-deprecating type thing because it's your own accent. Maybe if you're from Birmingham or Manchester or Dublin, you feel the same. But there is a slight threatening undertone sometimes, even when people are saying really nice, positive, pleasant things.
Exactly. That's the lovely thing. The people are so nice in Northern Ireland, but they just, you know... As I have a thing about my wife going, I love you very much. Okay, great. I think it's because it's just deep, isn't it? It's a deeper...
Yes, that and possibly some of the history of this country as well might add to it a little bit when it comes to people from outside.
But yes, probably the history and the fact that two people grew up with, like my generation with so much stuff that you only heard a Northern Irish accent when it was connected to the news and the trouble.
Yeah, and it was something negative.
Yes, exactly. So that's probably, that's what it is. And it's terrible. And I've done nothing to help that situation. I think it's a great accent, though.
We are falling apart socially, aren't we? We have got riots, we've got strikes, we've got civil disobedience, we've got people protesting. We're in terrible trouble. Only Germany's okay, aren't they? Everyone's looking to Germany to show strong leadership over the euro, and Germany is a little bit like Dr. David Banner from the Hulk TV series. Just saying, don't ask us to show strong leadership. You won't like us when we show strong leadership. Germany's at the top, of course. Greece is at the bottom. Greece is the worst. Any Greeks here? Yeah? Buy them a drink, people, because they're quite short of good. They never tell us on the news what we want to know about Greece. What we really want to know about Greece is, does this economic disaster mean it is more or less expensive to go on holiday to Greece? That's all we want to know. That's all we want. What is the cost of 2 weeks half-boarding Corfu? The British people deserve an answer.
I want to go back, Hal, just briefly. We were talking about, obviously, that the person writing their review during your gig.
Yeah.
Do you worry a lot about like critics and what they think of you? Because, you know, you've mentioned standing in front of the big audience and hoping that they like your material, but then the people are kind of paid to critique you. Do you think about that a lot?
Do you know what? You have to sort of shut it off because we live in such a critiquing society, I suppose. Because we've got social media now. You know, you can appear on TV, say one thing, and somebody will get offended, or people will have got a direct line to you to tell you that they think you're rubbish. I mean, it is, without making a big deal of it, because obviously I don't get it in the same way that really famous people do, really, you know, the Michael McIntyres and John Bishop and people like that and Kevin Bridges. But the level of abuse that anybody in the public eye gets is so much worse from everyone. I think the reviews have almost got less importance. You go, oh, yeah, I've got a dodgy review. I think I mentioned I was on the Great British Bake Off Extra Slice, and I managed to, and there was a redhead guy from Northern Ireland.
Yes,
Andrew was on there, and I was saying how much I loved him because I've got a ginger daughter, and my wife's from Northern Ireland, and he feels like one of the family. And somebody said, "Oh yeah, picking on people because of the way they look." I went, "I was just my daughter loves the fact that she's ginger haired. She loves the fact she's and actually told me, you know, how much they pay you for bullying." And I'm going, it wasn't bullying. I said the word ginger, which I don't think is offensive, but maybe that person thought it was. It's countless times now that I've been told I've been rubbish or been offensive or that I'm, you know, so if you do anything on television now, and you must have this, like, when you're doing radio things or anything,
yes,
you know, people don't just sit at home going, oh, I don't like that.
No, sometimes I'll check Twitter. We were on air this morning and I sometimes, when I'm on air, I won't look at the texts that come in. I will let if I'm presenting, I will let the producer look at them and kind of filter them, because sometimes I'm kind of afraid that I will see something really nasty and it will distract me from what I'm doing. Same with Twitter. And sometimes when you do go to look at it later, you almost do it with one eye shut, because you'll never please everyone. And there will be someone, no matter how good a job you think you're doing, that will really not like you. I remember as well getting a letter sent in, because I do some presenting. I also produce, I usually produce this show actually. And I had a letter that was sent to the producer, and I opened the letter, and it was really nicely typed out. It was one of those letters, where, you know, you can get from charities, you can get like your address sticker, so your name and address. So it's all nice. My granny used to have these, and it was all nicely typed out, proper, you know, it was all proper font and signed and everything. And it basically was saying how horrendous they thought I was. One line in particular was, "The BBC's attempt to breathe life into this cretin's career is truly pathetic." And this went on for quite a while, and it was addressed to the producer, and they obviously assumed I was just wheeled out to talk nonsense now and again, and it wouldn't be me opening it. But you kind of think, when you look at that kind of criticism, and you must get this on a much bigger scale than me, to ignore that and to put that to the side, to let it bounce off.
But as part of human nature, you tend to forget the nice stuff and remember the horrible stuff.
So
and
true.
If you're having a good career, you virtually always have much more nice stuff than horrible stuff. But the horrible stuff often winds you up. I think I did used to get more wound up by things, I think, but I think I've got better. I mean, I've had the odd one. I tell you what, one that's will never leave me, and maybe that's why I've got nastier as a comic. But someone wrote on Twitter, "Hal Cruttendon, the safe comedian, safe comedian." And this was about 3 years ago, and I thought, oh, really?
You thought, I'll show you.
Yeah, well, it was on the day of a broadcast of a live at the Apollo that I knew was going to be quite controversial. It was really having attacking football fans, that culture of, you know, men actually pouring all their emotions into football rather than actually what matters and things like that. And it actually did create, I think it was because I'd been quite unpleasant, it created some quite lively tweets afterwards. But I remember thinking at the time, oh, you really think I'm safe? I thought, that's somebody that doesn't know my comedy. That's a guy that just sees chubby man wearing a suit. I get really jealous of comics who've come before who've never had to go through that. I get jealous that, you know, Morecambe and Wise never had to have Twitter or Tommy Cooper or the two Ronnies. And they, you know, I'm thinking, oh, they're so lucky. They never lived through it. Like, they could just do a TV show and, yeah, they might have reviews of it. That's true.
Yeah, or get heckled on the street.
But the big comics, someone like Dara O'Brien will get into fights with people, and he's just so clever that he just takes them apart.
I was talking to a girl in her early 20s. I wasn't going to do anything because I am married. I'm married to a woman. I know what you were thinking. Shut up. Obviously, yeah, it's just a stage persona. You know, off stage, I'm sort of dark, dangerous, a little bit sexy. On stage.
I know we're a bit pushed for time. There was something else I wanted to ask you, and that was obviously you're a comedian. What you do is make people laugh. That's your job. And people could assume that someone like yourself or any of the other comics are always like that. They're always upbeat, always happy. Do you find it hard sometimes to be that positive, bouncy, energetic person?
You probably get less bouncy off stage the more you're working as a comic. It's terrible. My wife says, oh, you're all mad. She thinks all comedians are very damaged, messed up people because she thinks that we can be very different off stage. Imagine a comedian with totally the same off stage as on stage. That would be quite annoying.
But this is how I perceive you to be. I always assume in my head you're like Mr. Tumble on and off stage, and you never really break character. Just like Jack D is always a bit miserable.
I'm always trying to tell people how dark and dangerous I am. I'm not, admittedly. Oh God, it's quite in depth, this, isn't it? But I think comedians are no happier or no jollier than anyone else in society. It is a bit of a performance. The best jokes are often about the most serious things in life. Yeah. You know, it sounds really dark.
No, I understand. And I guess it's a lot of that is about the world around us and what's happening, so people can relate and understand. But listen, Hal, we'll leave it there for now. But thank you very much.
Lovely to speak to you. Cheers.
There you go, and that's Hal Cruttendon. He's got some gigs, of course, here in Northern Ireland at the end of October. On Thursday, the 27th of October, at the Waterfront in Belfast. Friday, the 28th, in the Millennium Forum in Derry, Londonderry. And on Saturday, the 29th of October, in the Marketplace in Armagh. Give it a Google if you're looking for tickets.